Home for Christmas. And today's first installment is Time to Come Home. At Christmas time, we remember that we are seeking a new home. As Paul says, this is not our home. We are seeking a new and transformed world in Jesus Christ. And as we come at this time of Advent and we experience a lot of our very familiar traditions, our sanctuary so warmly decorated, our Advent wreath, our songs that we will sing today and all along that are our favorite Christmas and Advent hymns, we come and it helps us to feel warm and feel at home here with our family in Jesus Christ. But we have to remember and recall that these things, even our Christmas Eve candlelight and communion service, these things are not our destination, but they are signs that are pointing us toward the better home and calling us to come home to Jesus. So we read today about how the prophet Jeremiah spoke of this homecoming. And he spoke to a people who were in exile, a people who were away from their home, who were no longer able to live in Jerusalem and no longer able to worship at the temple. And so the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah in the 33rd chapter, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings and to make grain offerings and to make sacrifices for all time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So Jeremiah speaks of promises. Promises of God. Promises made long ago that have yet to be fulfilled. And in their context, the people are looking around and thinking that these promises have failed. You see, they don't have their home, they don't have their land, they don't have their temple. The Davidic king, the king in the line of David, has been taken into exile and killed. The priests no longer have a home because the temple has been destroyed. I think it's been feeling a little bit like that for us in these past year-ish. I mean, just think back to last year, how we had to cancel our Christmas Eve service at the last minute, being in person, and everybody had to just worship from home, from our own homes, but we couldn't gather here in what is our traditional Christmas Eve home. And this pandemic has taken a toll on our mental health, on our physical health, on people's jobs, people's lives lost. And so we want to recall the promises that God has made. As Jeremiah recalls, and the people hearing the words would have known the promises, the promise that the prophet Nathan made to King David back in 2 Samuel in the 7th chapter, "I will give you rest from all your enemies. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And the prophet Moses spoke to Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, the high priest, in the book of Numbers in chapter 35. Moses said, God said to Moses, "Therefore say, I hereby grant him my covenant of peace. It shall be for him and for his descendants after him a covenant of perpetual priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the Israelites." These are the promises that Jeremiah calls upon when he talks about the shoot, the sprig, the branch coming up from the stump. You see, the Davidic king tree had been cut off. And yet God promises to bring a new branch, a new sprig up from the stump. And what we see in common there with these promises that Jeremiah calls upon is justice and righteousness. That he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Those shall be saved and be in safety. Peace through justice and righteousness. Peace with our neighbors. That's justice. That's how God seeks to us to obtain peace with our neighbors, through justice. And peace with God, being set right with God. Righteousness, that's what atonement is talking about, being set right with God. So these promises were partially filled. The people did return to the land. They did rebuild their temple. And they did have a Levitical priesthood, and they did have a king, but they no longer had a kingdom. And the promises begin to change, to focus on a coming Messiah. As the words of the prophet Daniel speak about, a son of man coming in the clouds, coming and overcoming all the powers of this world and bringing in a reign of peace. And so Jesus then, hundreds of years later, speaks the words of these prophets. He interprets the prophets for the present time. In the words that Charlie read for us, he says, "Then they will see the Son of Man arriving in a cloud with power and great glory." He speaks of the Messiah, the King, and he uses all of these prophecies. He interprets them to refer to himself. He teaches his disciples and the people who will listen that in him these prophecies are being fulfilled. That he is the new king, the Davidic king, a son of Joseph, descending from the line of David, born in Bethlehem, the city of David, bringing a new home of justice. As he teaches, loving your neighbor as yourself. And he is also the priest, the great high priest who intervenes in the throne of the kingdom of glory and sets things right between us and God with the atonement that he brings on the cross. And so it is, and we see that justice and righteousness begins to come on the earth, and Jesus tells the people that when they see these things, that the kingdom of God is near. Advent is the season, a season of hope, a season that hope in Jesus, these promises are finally, truly being fulfilled. But they're different. They're different than Jeremiah thought they would look, different than the people who first heard them thought they would be. See, it's not an earthly priest with sacrifices that people are bringing. Not in our own righteousness. Not in the ways that we can live and the things that we can do and the things that we can come and do and fulfill and feel like we've done something for God. No, not in that do we put our hope. For Paul says, none are righteous. And yet God in his infinite mercy has taken Jesus and made him the place of atonement. The place where things are set right with God in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And so we can come not to a temple, but to Jesus himself. And ask for mercy and receive forgiveness and come and be set right with God. And so when we are able to do that, we then become a part of this kingdom that God is bringing, this new kingdom under our King Jesus. But again, it's not what they thought. It's not the earthly kingdoms that are put in place by swords and guns. It's not in our ability to execute justice that we rely upon. You see, when they come for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulls out his AR-15 and gets ready to defend himself. And Jesus says, no, put that away. That is not the way. It's self-defense. But Jesus says that our way of answering violence with more violence is not working. Jesus says that our ability to discern what is right and wrong is what got us in trouble in the first place. Take a look at Genesis 3. See what they did. They went and they ate from the tree of the ability to discern right from wrong. That's what got us into trouble in the first place, because Jesus has made things eternally right with God. So our task, our job, what we are seeking, therefore, is not to discern right from wrong, but to follow Jesus. Our way of being righteous is to give up on our own righteousness and to accept that Jesus died for our sin. And that by his grace, we can be set right with God. And so by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, we can live a new life of peace and justice by following Jesus, doing what he did, living as he lived. And that is the way to all the things that we want. You see, our final home is in a world where people treat each other with dignity and respect in the way that Jesus treated others, the way that Jesus treated women and foreigners and aliens and children and all the people in his society, in his world that were rejected and marginalized. He treated them as part of his family and brought them into his home. And our final home, the home that we are seeking, that Jesus is leading us towards, is a community of nonviolent compassion. Now you may say that this is naive and foolish. It's not the way of the world. It's not how the world works. That's not what's right. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you think is right and just. All that matters is that you follow Jesus. Do what he does. So on Christmas Eve, we're going to sing about peace on earth. We're going to sing that Jesus is the Lord of all. And I think for a minute when we light those candles, we're going to believe it. How would it change our behavior if we believed it all the time? That really, if Jesus were peace, were Lord of all, that if we followed him, it would bring peace on earth. How would it change the way we treat one another? What we think is right and what we think is wrong. Jesus is ready. Jesus is ready to forgive you. Jesus is ready to lead you. It's time to come home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.